ते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोप कुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः।
We are reading from the 10th canto, chapter 34, text number 27.
Kroshantam Krishna Rameti Vilokya Swaparigraham Yatha Gadasyuna Grasta Bhratarav Anvadhavatam क्रोशन्तं कृष्णरामेति विलोक्य स्वपरिग्रहं यथा गादस्युनाग्रस्ता भ्रातराव अन्वधावताम् क्रोशन्तं कृष्णरामेति विलोक्य स्वपरिग्रहं यथा गादस्युनाग्रस्ता भ्रातरावन्वधावताम्। Kroshantam, crying out. Krishna Ram iti, Krishna Ram. Vilokya, seeing. Swaparigraham, their devotees. Yatha, just as. Gaha, cows. Dasyuna, by a thief. Grastaha, seized. Bhratarau, the two brothers, Anvadhavatam, ran after. Translation, hearing their devotees crying out, Krishna, Ram, and seeing that they were just like cows being stolen by a thief, Krishna and Balaram began to run after the demon. There is no purport to this verse, so I will be reading next three verses. मा भैष्टेत्य भयारावौ शालहस्तौ तरस्विनौ असेदतुस्तं तरसा त्वरितं गुह्यकाधमम्। द लॉर्ड्स कॉल्ड आउट इन रिप्लाई, डू नॉट फियर। देन दे पिक्ड अप लॉग्स ऑफ द शाल ट्री एंड क्विकली पर्स्यूड द लोएस्ट ऑफ गुह्यकास हु स्विफ्टली रैन अवे। सविक्षताव अनुप्राप्तौ काल मृत्यु इवो द्विजन विस्तृज्य स्त्रीजन मूढ़ प्राद्रव जीविते छया. When Shankachud saw the two of them coming towards him like the personified forces of time and death, he was filled with anxiety. Confused, he abandoned the women and fled for his life. Tam anvadhavat govindo yatra yatra sadhavati jihirshustachiro ratnam tasthau rakshanstriyo balaha. Translation. Lord Govind chased the demon wherever he ran, eager to take his crest jewel. Meanwhile, Lord Balaram stayed with the women to protect them. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagarjatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी ऋषभानु सुते देवी वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवाशादि गौर भक्तवृंद. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण. सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम द चैप्टर titled Nand Maharaj Saved and Shankachud Slain. So the episode of the slaying of Shankachud is being discussed here. So there are certain things that we will be discussing today about the pastime, how he was skilled, and what is his background. Who is this demon? What is his identity from his past lives? And what does this demon, Shankachud, represent? And what do we learn from this episode from Srimad Bhagavatam? So, the episode goes like this, that it was the time of Holi. And the Lord Krishna and Balaram, they were with the gopis, enjoying wonderful pastimes. And at that time, this demon known as Shankachud, now he's called as Shankachud because he was wearing a jewel, a very attractive jewel on his head, on his crown. And he was the son of Sudhan, one of the associates of Kuver, a yaksha from who is the treasurer of the demigods. So he was not a human being, he was a celestial being. So he immediately appears there, and he decides to steal the ornaments of the gopis, and he wanted to molest them and things like that. He wanted to take them away, kidnap them. So he comes with a stick and he starts driving away the gopis, just as a thief would come and take away a buffalo or a cow by showing the stick, just like in Hindi you say, jiski lathi uski bhains. You know, so he just thought that he could just get away, he could just drive the women and he could take them away. So while he was doing this, Krishna and Balaram, the gopis cry out, and this verse, Krishna Ram, they start shouting Krishna's names, calling for Krishna. They were very frightened. And Kavi Karanapur, in his book, he writes very wonderfully, in a very poetic way, that they were so frightened, just as a deer would be frightened when he encounters a very ferocious wolf. So in a very threatened state, the gopis, they immediately start screaming out the Lord's names, Krishna, Ram. And immediately, Krishna immediately runs behind the demon. And Balaram also runs, but he sees that Krishna is following the demon. So then he stays back to protect the gopis and pacify them. And Krishna goes there. And Shankarachuda, immediately he starts fleeing when he realizes and he sees that Krishna and Balaram is running behind him. So he immediately becomes frightened and he runs away for his life. And at that time, Krishna immediately, though he was very, very far away, it is explained that immediately he reaches there and he, with his lotus hands, Kavi Karanapur explains that Krishna's hands are so soft, it is explained that it is just like a lotus. Soft like a lotus. But when the Lord clenches his fist to punch somebody, then that same fist, which is soft like a lotus, becomes hard like the back of a turtle. And with that fist, with one punch, he decapacitated the demon, beheaded him. And he took his jewel and he came back. And he was deciding what to do, whether to present it to the gopis. So there were a lot of gopis, so he didn't want them to, he didn't want to be partial to any one of them. So in order to avoid conflict, he gave it to Balaramji. That way. And then eventually the pastime goes that the Balaram gives it to one of the gopis intending to give it to Radharani. And eventually that jewel comes to Radharani. That way. So, Shankarachuda is explained was, he invited death. As if it is explained that a person who is very thirsty, who becomes delirious by the heat of the sun, decides to cool himself and climbs on top of a tree. And looking at the heat waves arising from the ground, it appears like there is water and he jumps from the top of the tree thinking that he'll land in the water and breaks his head and dies. Shankarachuda ran into death. He walked into the lordships, Krishna and Balaram, just in that same way. Beautiful examples is given, analogy is given for this. This is just like sometimes an antelope, a deer would sometimes accidentally walk into a lion thinking the flowing mane of the lion is gone or grass and he comes to eat it and he gets caught. Like that Shankarachuda came in the assembly of Krishna and Balaram inviting death. Sometimes a frog, he says an example, Shankarachuda came to Krishna Balaram, just like sometimes a frog would jump onto the head of a serpent in order to steal the jewel on the head of the serpent. So in that way, very beautifully, it is explained that how Shankarachuda invited his own death by jumping into and in the presence of the Supreme Lord, trying to molest these topmost devotees of the Lord, the gopis. So now this pastime was being narrated by, in the Garga Samhita, it has also been mentioned, and it is being narrated by Narada to Bahulashva. At that time when he makes the mention, he says that when Shankarachuda was killed, and the various other demons like Aghasur was killed, and you know, when all these demons were killed, the soul of these demons merged into the body of Lord Krishna.
When Shankarchud's death was being narrated, at that time it was Narada said that the soul of Shankarchud came out of the body and merged into the body of Sridhama. So at that time, Bahulashva asked this question that how come it merged in the body of Sridhama? What is the story behind it? Generally, Aghasur and other demons, Shishupal, and their bodies merge, the souls merge into the body of Krishna. So what is the reason behind that? So then the story goes that Narada says, I will tell you the story which which Narayana Rishi, he told me. So the story goes that in Golok Vrindavan, once when Lord Krishna was with his gopi girlfriend Viraja, and Sridhama was guarding that grove, that kunja, where Krishna and Viraja were performing their pastimes. At that time, Radharani happens to come there. And she wanted to enter, and Sridhama stops her, saying that you can't enter right now. So she becomes, out of a transcendental jealous anger, she manifests a transcendental jealous anger. And she starts criticizing Sridhama, and she becomes very upset, and she leaves that place. And she starts creating a hue and cry, and she starts creating a commotion, and there's loud noises. And Krishna and Viraja, they come to know that Radharani has come. So Viraja, immediately, she turns herself into a river, into a river which surrounds Golok. Krishna also immediately leaves that place in order to avoid trouble. Now, these are all transcendental pastimes. You know, one may ask, how can Radharani be jealous? And how can, you know, these cursings and all go on? But this is all transcendental. It is arranged by the Supreme Lord. There is no fault in them. It is all out of their intense affection for the Lord. In fact, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll read that how when Mahaprabhu and Swarup Damodar were on that, you know, that day of the Rath Yatra, when Lakshmiji would come back, you know, and she would inquire that why Jagannath has not come back. He has left Jagannath temple and he has not come back. He's left Dwarka and he has not come back. At that time, there is a huge fight. You know, Lakshmiji's servants, they end up beating the guards of Lord Krishna at the Gundicha temple. You see, that whole pastime is enacted by the pujaris of Jagannath temple. So at that time, Swarup Damodar closes his eyes to see an exhibition of false ego on the part of Lakshmi. How can that be? Swarup Damodar, please explain. How can there be envy amongst such exalted souls like Lakshmi? And so Mahaprabhu wanted to explain, wanted us to know that how do we understand this? So Swarup Damodar said it is not an exhibition of the material, mundane envy that we have here, but it is just out of a natural, spontaneous reaction of one's natural love for Krishna that it manifests. It is not any mundane envy towards anyone. So that way, Radharani, she just walks out of that place, and Lord Krishna comes again after she leaves, and he transforms Viraja back into the gopi and again starts having a wonderful leela with her. And after some time, it is explained that the children of Viraja, they happened to come there. And they had an argument amongst themselves, and they come to the mother. So at that time, Lord Krishna leaves the association of Viraja. So Viraja, then she ends up again cursing her sons, the seven sons that she had, that you will be transformed into seas. And they become the seven oceans on this Bhumandala. It is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And after that, Lord Krishna again comes back to Viraja and blesses her, don't worry. By your own powers, all your children will be reunited with you, don't worry. And I will never be separated from you in that way. And then Krishna realizes that Radharani has left and she may be feeling morose. So then he goes to Radharani along with Sri Dama. So Radharani, when she sees, again she gets provoked and she sees that Lord Krishna has come with Sri Dama. So she becomes a little upset again, and then she starts again, you know, making a she started screaming and shouting at Krishna. So Krishna again, he just leaves. He says, why have you come to meet me? You know, why don't you go and be with your other girlfriend? Why do you have to come here? There's no place for you here. She has become a river. You also become a river and be with her. So that way, Radharani, when she says these words, apparently harsh words, so Krishna leaves. And Sridhama, who happens to be there, he starts speaking philosophy and he says, Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is Ananta Koti Brahmanda Nayak. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is completely independent to make his own choices. So why do you criticize him? And immediately Radharani becomes very upset with Sridhama and she says, Krishna is the father and I am like the mother, and you are taking sides. You are taking sides of the father and criticizing the mother. So I curse you. I curse you that you should go to the earth and become a demon. So that's what, you know, Krishnananda Prabhu was very wonderfully explaining, that when two devotees are fighting, if you take sides, then they both go to Goloka and you go to hell. So, you know, not to take sides, because if devotees are arguing, okay, they'll patch up, but you should not take sides because, you know, they are on a different level. You should not interfere unnecessarily unless it is your service to do that. So, she gets cursed. And then Sridhama curses her in return and says, oh, you will also be born on earth and you will be separated from Lord Krishna for 100 years. So, Sridhama, so when he was falling and Lord Krishna comes there and he says, don't worry, a partial expansion of you, Lord Krishna comes there and he says that, he tells Radharani that, look, when I speak something, I can change, I can go back on my words, not a problem. But when my devotee says something, then it has to come true. And therefore, what you all have cursed each other, that has to come true. And it will happen. So what we learn from this is that we should try our best to avoid conflicts. Because when devotees get into trouble, even God cannot save. And even Krishna cannot. And if there are any curses exchanged in return, if you return the compliment with again curses, then even the Lord cannot actually overturn that statement. That's why it is a good principle always to follow. You know, to speak sweetly, even if one is agitated internally. You know, anudvega karam vakyam. That's why Krishna says in the Gita that when you speak, you have to think before you speak, and you have to consider: is it satyam priya hitam chayat? Is it the truth? And even if it is a truth, is it spoken politely, kindly? And is it for the welfare of that person? That means, is your intention correct behind speaking it? Very important. Speak sweet words, it doesn't cost much. In fact, it's free. That's why there's a saying, you know, in the Niti Shastra, there's a very nice saying. Priya vakya pradanena tushyanti sarvajantavaha tasma deva vaktavyam vajaneka daridrata. That sweet words, priya vakya pradanena tushyanti sarvajantavah, that if you speak sweetly, everyone is happy. It pleases everybody, sweet talk. And it's a God's gift, it's free of charge. Why are you so miserly? What's so miserly? Just give some kind words to others. So, you see, that way. So, and of course, an intention, Krishna says that intention is very important. When you speak, what is our intention? Our attitude when we are interacting with devotees. Because if your intention is not good, even though you may be saying something for somebody's benefit, but it will be taken otherwise. Like in the Gita, if you see, you know, Krishna is telling, Arjuna is telling Krishna, Sena yor ubhayor madhye ratam sthapayame achyuta. Oh Lord, please, you take the chariot between the two armies. I want to see who's come to fight. He's giving instructions to Krishna.
Now you never give instructions to a superior. Now here the Supreme Personality of God is taking instruction from Arjuna. But Arjuna is, when he is addressing him, he is telling Krishna, you are not, and he is telling Krishna, he is using the word Achyuta. Achyuta means one who never falls from his position. Even though you have taken the position of a servant, and the Lord is taking the position of a servant to show that how he takes pleasure in serving his devotees. The position of a servant is very pleasurable. It is pleasing to the Supreme Lord that the Supreme Lord abandons his position of being the Lord and controller and takes up a simple position of being a servant of his devotee. So Arjuna is knowing that the Lord is, it is giving him pleasure when he is doing the service and taking my instructions. And therefore, in order to also remind himself and to make others aware that, oh Lord, even though I am giving you instructions, because you, it is for your pleasure and that makes you happy, okay, fine, so be it. And even though you are taking the position, a humble position, you are still Supreme Lord. Achyuta, one who never falls from your position. So therefore, Satyam, it should be the truth, it should be spoken politely. It should be spoken, kind words must be used. And it should be, and when we speak, we should speak it with the right intention. Otherwise it will backfire. And sometimes even if you are, if you glorify somebody, but if your intention is not good, then that person may think, what do you want? Kya chahiye tujhe? And if you are having the good intentions, then even sometimes if you have to chastise, then it is taken properly. So anyway, so the pastime goes that Lord Krishna says, I cannot overturn your decisions, your the words that you have spoken, it has to come true. And therefore then they both come here and Sridhama comes down and he is born as Shankachud and he gets killed by Krishna and he merges into the body of Sridhama. That way. So this is the pastime in brief, a little background about who Shankachud was. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains that this demon Shankachud represents a particular anartha which a devotee must overcome in order to be with Krishna. On his path of devotional service, when he's making progress, he has to deal with this anartha. And the process of Krishna consciousness, when he accepts the process of Krishna consciousness, when he chants the holy names, then this anartha of Shankachuda, which represents the desire for name, fame, and the union with the opposite sex. So that is the thing that we have to be wary of. And we see so many such examples. Krishnanand Prabhu, last which talk he gave, very wonderfully he spoke about how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally, from his own example, he showed that how he just didn't care about name and fame. When he was in Gurukul, and he was along with a student of his who also was aspiring to be a top student in his class, and they had given an assignment to write some thesis on Nyaya. And both of them wrote books and they exchanged their notes. And when this boy, he read the notes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, written by the Supreme Lord himself, he started crying tears. So Mahaprabhu asked him, why are you crying? And he says that I wanted to be the best in the class, but I saw that your work is so far superior, I don't stand a chance. I don't stand a chance. And therefore I'm feeling so sorry. So the Lord says, why do you weep? And he takes his book and he throws it into the Ganges. The only book that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wrote, he immediately puts it into the Ganges and he says, if that makes you happy, you come up, you become the best. You be the best. I don't want to be the best. You take the glory of being the top student. Personally, he showed. We see the example of Madhavendra Puri. When the Supreme Lord Gopinath appeared and stole the kheer for him, and it was a well-known fact all over Ramona that the Supreme Lord appeared for this devotee, Madhavendra Puri. What a great exalted soul he is. But as soon as his glories spread all over that place, he immediately left that place. He didn't want people unnecessarily bothering him
and disturbing his sadhana and his service to the Supreme Lord. Even in Prabhupada's, many of his disciples, we see that so many of them are exhibiting this quality of great humility. Example of Jayanand, which struck me in my initial days of Krishna consciousness, when I heard how Jayanand Prabhu, one responsible for making the first Jagannath Rath Yatra cart for ISKCON, was so humble that when he would preach to people and people would be attracted like anything by his devotional demeanor, that they would just be attracted to him. And immediately when anybody would come, even though they were junior to him, he would put him in them in responsible position and tell him that, okay, you be the manager, you be the president or whatever, and you tell me what I should be doing. And he was willing to take instructions, which is so difficult to do for a conditioned soul. He didn't want any name, he didn't want any fame. He was just simply satisfied with being, for taking a humble position and serving. So, you see, and because in this conditioned state, everybody is trying to become the controller. Everybody wants to give instructions. Everybody is very generous when it comes to giving instructions. Freely take instructions as much as you want. But he becomes very miserly when it comes to taking instructions. And how difficult it is to give a heartfelt thank you or an appreciation for somebody's service. So difficult. Very difficult to say thank you, Prabhuji. It comes out with great difficulty, these two words, thank you, and there's another one word which is very difficult to speak. Very difficult. Sorry. I'm sorry. Very difficult. Because the false ego just doesn't allow us to, accept it. How can I be wrong? So everybody wants to, but we see that how exalted souls, they are willingly to give up the position of being the controller, and you please. So, name, fame, prestige, that's why Shankarachud represents that. And the very fact that, we all of us use the bead bag. Somebody asks, why do you put the beads in the bead bag? We say, ye kya hai, ye mala hai. Ye kya hai, ye mala jholi hai. Okay, kyun mala jholi? So, it's very long, the beads are very long. So in order for the beads not to touch the ground, we use the mala jholi, we use the bead bag. But actually that's not the real reason. The real reason is we don't show that we are actually doing sadhana. Our sadhana, we are doing for what? We are doing for the pleasure of the Lord alone. And not to show that what great a devotee I am. That is actually the principle behind why we have a bead inside a bead bag. That let nobody think that, oh, what a great sadhu I have become. Sadhana, that's why it is said, if you expose it, you lose it. That is the whole idea, the principle. So we see that how this Shankarachud represents the thing of the desire that let me be famous, let me be known. And people in this world go to great extents to make sure that people know them. A devotee was telling, I don't remember who, that he was traveling in the train and he saw one man who was trying to make a world record. He wanted his name to be in the Guinness Book of World Records. And what was he when the devotee looked at him? He had this huge nails. Like this, he was growing his nails. That long. And both his hands, it seems, were having these long nails. It's hardly cutting. He couldn't do anything. He's willing to undergo so many sacrifices. You see, it's such an austerity to have long nails and you're not able to wash your face. Just imagine, how will you wash your face? I mean, how do you answer the call of nature with your hands like this? People go to such extents to be known, to break a record, to make a record. Why had long nails? like this. And you can't even move. I mean, you're kind of paralyzed with those, you know, nails of yours. Such a great extent people go to make sure that, you know, people know me. At least I've done something. This world. So Mahaprabhu asked, who's the most famous person? Mahaprabhu said, one who's recognized by Krishna, one who's the greatest devotee, he is the most famous person. And I was once in a program, and you know, Gopinath Prabhu was telling a very wonderful story that a sadhu had was very well known. Sadhu was very well known because he was so renounced. He was so renounced that he would hardly show his face to civilization. 364 days in a year he would spend time in the Himalayas. And it seems one particular day in a year, some auspicious day or something, he would choose to come out to the civilization. And at that time, all the people would gather to see and take darshan of this person who so completely renounced from all the worldly things. And every year, that one day, people would look forward to have his darshan. So one day what happened? This man comes there. And he comes and he made a wrong calculation and he came one day earlier. So when he comes, he finds that there is nobody. So he becomes a little upset. He says, how come there is nobody here? Maybe they are coming. Who knows? Let's see. So he climbs on top of a tree, tall tree, to see where are the people. And when he climbs on the top, he falls from the top, breaks his head and he dies. That was the end of his. Such a renounced sage, sadhu, renounced from all material things, but he was not renounced from the desire of name, fame and prestige. So, and if you think carefully, I mean, you know, that's why we have to listen. That's why I said that we have to listen to Srimad Bhagavatam regularly. And analyze what are the disadvantages of all these things. What to speak of spiritual advancement, even materially speaking, it is such a headache to be famous. You know, look at all these famous people. Now in India and Bollywood, you see like Amitabh Bachchan is so famous. Now, when you're famous, there's so many advantages. Certainly, when you go, you get facilities, you get respect and all those things. Fine, that's nice. But think about the personal, private life of such a people. Now, there's a beautiful beach out here, wonderful sea face. If you're in anxiety, you can just go for a wonderful walk and be peaceful. Go for a japa walk. Wonderful sea beach. Open to all. Anyone can come there. But if the, say, some film star, very famous film star, if he wants to go for a walk out on the beach, can he go? What a misfortune. That when too many people know you, even the basic, you know, amenities you're deprived of. A walk, simple walk on the beach, here, so close by, probably to their homes, but they cannot go. People, they'll be, you know, geraud by people. So many people will, you know, stalkers, as they say, you know, people, paparazzos, as they say, come with their cameras and click photos. And there are so many instances when, you know, these celebrities, they you know, just take the cameras and throw it and here, and they get into trouble because they're so harassed. People harass them. So, what's the point of it all? Why are people, you know, behind all these things? It's not even a peaceful position for anybody. Even not even spiritually speaking, materially speaking, there's such a hassle. You don't have any privacy. Everybody is looking into your life. Any one comment you make, it's on the. And it's nice when people say good about you, but you know, there are many people who backbite, who say, oh, this guy is like this. And then for a person who's honored, dishonor is worse than death. Some people will like you, some people will not. So much trouble. And people, somebody was telling me that one famous film star in Bollywood, he went abroad, he was very old. He was a heartthrob of Indian cinema when he was young. Became very old,
And I don't want to take names, but then he was going to die, and he said, told the doctors that when I die, make sure that you cremate my body here itself. I don't take my body back to India. Let not my fans see me in this situation. They have a particular image of me, how I am. Let them not see me in this situation, an old man. So this is the kind of situation that people get into, and people are working so hard to get this name and fame. What's the point of it all? Because the nature of mind is such that no matter how much you get, it's always less. Somebody comes and appreciates you and you feel, oh great, I'm so nice, oh good. It feels nice, but then you know, it's not that's the end of it. Okay, now forever you're satisfied. No, again and again, you want people to come and say, oh wonderful, wonderful, excellent, you've done a very good service, you've done an excellent service, oh you're so empowered, Krishna has empowered you so much. You constantly want people to come and keep telling you. That's the nature of prestige. But it's not that you're going to get always people. Nobody cares about anybody in this world. Everybody is just concerned about themselves. How many people are you going to get? Tell you that you're so great. You know, one person when I was in doing my marathon in Rudrapur, there was a company, Britannia, they make biscuits, Britannia biscuits. So the plant manager was sitting and I was giving a stress management seminar to them. So he was a nice, wonderful man. So at the end of my seminar stress, I was telling about that how people are so stressed out because, you know, they're hankering for this name, fame, prestige, and they're always in constant anxiety. You have to try to become humble and try to give up this thing. So then he was saying that, yeah, that's true actually. You know, when I was young, I still remember the time when I went to my father and I said, Father, please give me some crayons. I want to color. I love coloring. Please give me crayons. And I still remember the time when my father told me that if you get within the first three rank in school, then I will give you the crayons. And I worked so hard to get those crayons and I came third. And I still remember my father bought me the crayons and that night under my pillow, I slept with those crayons under my pillow. Today, so many years down the line, I have become such a big man and I bought a Honda City recently. Honda City, but I never kept the keys of my car under my pillow. No? Still dissatisfied. More and more. I want more and more. So it's a matter of attitude. You know, what kind of attitude we are having. It's never satisfied. We never can be satisfied with these material things. We want more and more. What we are actually looking for is spiritual satisfaction. And only love and service to the Supreme Lord can actually give us satisfaction. What Shankarachud represents is the desire for the opposite sex. Shankarachud actually wanted to molest the gopis. So this is another anartha. As the Gita says, avritam jnanametena jnanino nityavairena kamarupena kaunteya dushpurena analena cha. That the greatest enemy of knowledge, self-realization, is kama. It covers up the knowledge. An example is given, you know, of a python. When a python, when it attacks its prey and gobbles it down, unlike any other animal, say for example, say a tiger or a lion, when it attacks its prey and eats its prey, it leaves some bones. You can tell that, you know, this animal was killed by a tiger or something like that. Some remnants are left, some nails or something. But when a python gobbles its prey, it leaves no trace. You can never say that there was this animal was here. It's completely gone. That is calm. When it comes on a person, on a conditioned soul, all his propensity to serve Krishna is completely gone. He forgets who he is. Forgets that he is actually meant to be a servant of God. I just came across a wonderful story. We're connected to this pastime in the Srimad Bhagavatam of Marisha. Marisha, who was raised by the trees, the daughter of Kandu Muni and Pramlocha, the goddess, the Apsara.
Very wonderful story. That this Kandum Rishi was a great tapasvi. He was doing tremendous austerity. And when he was doing austerity, as usual, Indra becomes insecure. That is the nature again of being attached to position. So immediately, predictably, Indra arranges for a apsara. Because naturally, that is a weakness of all conditioned soul. So this absolutely dazzling apsara, Pramlocha, she comes there. And Kandu Rishi gives up his tapasya, falls for her. And many years, it is explained, 907 years passed by, 6 months, 3 days. Many years went, it seems. And one day, this Kandu Muni, he takes his pot, his kamandalu and his puja paraphernalia, going out of the house. And Pramlocha, the apsara, asks him, where are you going? She says, I'm going for my puja, my daily puja. And she starts laughing. What do you mean, daily puja? She says, come on, you came in the morning, I met you in the morning. Don't you think that in the evening I have to go for my daily puja? She starts laughing and she says, what morning are you talking about? I came here 907 years, 6 months, 3 days. He did not realize the passage of time. How such a long period of time passed by in enjoyment that he completely forgot his sadhana, his real duty in life. And immediately he banished her, said, you please get out of my life. And then she left. And then she gave birth to Marisha, who was raised by the trees and the moon god, we see. And then she became the wife of the Prachetas, the sons of Prachina Barhi. So this is the nature of kaam or lust. That once it captures somebody, it's very, very, very difficult. So that is why how we'll have to dovetail these lower tendencies in Krishna's service. And that is how Prabhupada has given us a wonderful method of engaging our anarthas in Krishna's service somehow or another. As it is explained in Bhagavatam, Gopiha kamad bhayad kamso dveshad chaidyad yo nripaha sambandad vrishnaya bhaktya yuyam bhaktya vayam vibho. That Gopiha kamad, the gopis achieved perfection by dovetailing their love or their lust towards Krishna. Gopiha kamad bhayad kamso. And Kamsa, he dovetailed his envy towards Krishna. The object was Krishna, and by directing his envy towards Krishna, he became liberated. So therefore, similarly, if we can somehow dovetail whatever we have, if we have some following the regulative principles of devotional service, by taking up to the stipulations of Krishna consciousness, waking up in the morning, doing our basic sadhana, chanting Hare Krishna, then we can somehow or another, gradually make progress towards the ultimate goal of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki, Jai Gaur Premanandi, Hare Hare Bol.